The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Now I ask you, isn't it nice we have all the collection stuff out of the way? Yes? Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's important stuff. Got to keep the lights burning. Need your help. But that's not what you came here for. You came here for God, right? So it's great that we can just have the regular Mass like this. Something really unusual just happened. You might not be aware of that. What's unusual is that the first reading, second reading, Gospel, and Psalm response all had the same message. You almost never get that. The message this week, that it's the poor and the lowly who become the friends of God. That's all the readings said. First reading from Sirach, the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. Second reading, St. Paul writing to Timothy, I'm being poured out like a libation. And now a crown of righteousness awaits me. Psalm response, one of my favorite lines, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Love that line. And then, of course, the gospel, Jesus our Lord saying, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It's the lowly and the humble and the poor who become the friends of God. Question for you here this morning. Why is that the case? Why is that the case? Is there something good about being poor? Is that what we believe? Do we believe that it's good to be deprived of life's basic necessities and the things that you need for your well-being and your human dignity? Is that good? No, it's not good. Not good at all. Is it good to be lowly? Like as if God is jealous and like a petulant little child. He likes it when everyone around him is nice and lowly, makes him feel comfortable. As if God himself is proud. Is that what we believe? No, it's ridiculous. That's not what we believe. Why is it then that it's the poor and the lowly who become the friends of God? The best image that I can use to answer that is to say that you got to have an empty cup before you can fill it up with anything. And the thing about the lowly and the poor and the humble, they know they're in need. That's why people who are bad off in life are often the first ones to hold fast to the gospel, hold fast to our Lord's commandments. They've got nothing else. St. Augustine, speaking all these years ago, said, O poor man, you have nothing, but you have God. You have everything. O rich man, you have everything, but you don't have God. You have nothing. It's the idea there. Is God can't fill you with himself when you're already full of yourself. But humility, it's kind of a tricky virtue. You can't wake up in the morning and decide that I'm going to be more humble today. It doesn't work like that, right? Doesn't work like that. You don't wake up in the morning and say, yeah, I'm really doing well being humble. I'm making a lot of progress. I'm pretty proud of myself, actually. I'm more humble than you. Doesn't work like that. Can you grow in humility? Is it possible? Yes. Yes. But the way we grow in humility is by remembering who God really is and who we really are. That's how you grow in humility. Can I give you a little image that might help you in this area? Okay. About 5 or 6 years ago, there was an absolutely devastating tornado ripped through Oklahoma. Category F5. Categories of tornadoes, that's the most powerful of all tornadoes. Sustained winds of 200 to 300 miles an hour. This tornado picked up an entire parking lot full of cars and threw them for a mile in every direction. It's like a child throwing a bucket full of toys. It took a 10-ton propane tank, ripped it up out of its welded steel foundations, and threw it for a half a mile like it was a matchstick. Ripped trees up out of their foundations, sent the bark flying off the trees in every direction like bullets. Caused $2 billion worth of damage and killed 24 people. And this in the span of 20 minutes. It's a funny thing about storms. They couldn't care less about property value or human life. Storm does whatever it wants to do. And in spite of all of our technological prowess and know-how, there's not a single thing we can do to stop it. The proper demeanor before the power of nature is humility. Now, I don't mean to suggest that God is like a terrible storm. That would be a lousy comparison. However, if you can appreciate the humility that we ought to show before the power of nature, it's the best image that I can think of to help approximate the humility that the saints had before the power of God. You remember the gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord? Remember learning about that? So hopefully you got your confirmation and you learned one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fear of the Lord. You know, fear of the Lord doesn't mean being afraid of God. It means that your proper demeanor before the power, majesty, and sovereignty of God is one of humility. It's the only way we can truthfully relate to Him. It's tough to do, though. It's really tough to do, especially in our own time, especially in our own place. Have you ever stopped to consider that living here in this place and in this time, we are so different from the way generations and generations, centuries before us have lived, and even how people around the world live, even to this day? For example, walk into a room, flip a switch, room's flooded with light, just at your command. You ever been to a place where they don't even have electricity or gas lamps? Sun goes down, your day is over. Make do the best you can with candles, but gosh, you sure do feel your own limitations. Walk into a room, flip a switch, and suddenly out of your faucet pour cascades and cascades of perfectly clean, drinkable, pure water. Flip the other switch and suddenly you got hot water. When I was living in Rwanda, if you wanted water, you had to get it out of the well. If you wanted hot water, you had to light a fire. It teaches you your own limitations. We're so used to being in control, we're not very good at this humility thing. And we got to get good at it because it's just this important. The difference between the tax collector and the Pharisee was just their humility. That's the only difference. Now, don't misunderstand this little parable. Tax collector and the Pharisee. I've heard it many times before, and you're so used to thinking, oh, the Pharisee, that's the bad guy. Oh, the tax collector, that's the good guy. I assure you, when Jesus told this parable, people expected the exact reverse. Be a little modern parallel of this. Imagine Jesus tells a parable about a retired military veteran and a drug dealer, and they both walk into a church. You don't need to be Einstein to know which one of those two is supposed to be the bad guy, right? The tax collector had lots to be sorry for. Remember, As I mentioned before, a tax collector in ancient Rome, they ranked with prostitutes and murderers, literally had a license to steal. Imagine this, as long as they meet their quota of taxes they give to the government, they can collect as much as they want, right out of the pockets of their neighbors. License to steal, and people hated them for it. He had lots to be sorry for, and he said, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went home justified in God's sight. And the reason was he knew his own emptiness. God was able to fill him up. So here's the $64 question. Is there anything we can do? Is there anything we can do to grow in humility before God? Because we need it. Okay, the answer is yes. There's lots that we can do. Let me give you just one thing that we can do to really grow in humility before God. It's this. Can you pray through your hardships with faith? Can you do that? Something comes along in your life, it's a real hardship, suffering. Can you say these words? "Jesus, I trust you in this. Jesus, I thank you for this." You don't have to feel anything, okay? You can feel absolutely furious as you say those words, but as long as you mean them and will them, that's all you have to do. Don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean that we don't get out there and correct injustices when we can correct them, and turn right things that are wrong when we can turn them. And it doesn't mean that you don't pray that suffering would be alleviated from people who are overburdened, or that illnesses will be healed. All that stuff, okay? We still hold fast to all that. It's just that after you've done all that and you can't do anything and you're powerless, can you say those words to our Lord in prayer? "Jesus, I trust you in this. Jesus, I thank you for this." Okay, if you can pray those, I want to tell you, three things are going to happen to you. Three things. Number one, you're going to discover that you are not alone in your sufferings. That God is so powerful that he's even going to use this to become a blessing to you. He's going to help you. He's going to help everybody you know. And someday he's going to draw you to heaven because this happened. There's no suffering that's ever wasted. That's the first thing that happens. Second thing that happens, you learn what you need to learn, that someday you're going to help somebody else who's going through the exact same thing. God never lets us have a suffering in our life in which somewhere in our life, later on, we're not meant to use what we've learned to act in God's place. You're going to help somebody someday because of what you've gone through. The third thing that happens, as I mentioned, is you grow in humility before God Almighty. I heard a lady recently who said, "I'm not a strong person. I'm a very weak person, but I'm backed up by a very, very strong God." You want to say those words too and mean them? To grow in humility before the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord never digs down deep without planning to build up high. That's why Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Amen.